Dear congregation, the text for this morning's sermon you'll find in Joshua 24, Joshua 24, verse 15b, the last words of verse 15. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Four short thoughts. First, the occasion. The occasion. On what occasion were these words uttered? Second, the why. Why were these words spoken on this particular moment? Thirdly, the how. How to properly make this confession? Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How? And last thought, the capability. Are we able to pronounce these words? Do we have the power to keep this promise? So four thoughts: the occasion, the why, the how, the capability. First of all, the occasion. What words these are, aren't they? But as for me, and my house, we will serve the Lord. But Corey and Ben, to begin with you, you will express something similar a few moments from now, the Lord willing. First, with regard to the content, with regard to your intent, that you will express in a couple of moments from now, a couple of minutes from now, that you intend to serve the Lord. But you are not alone. You are not alone. Corey, you are the husband of Anastasia, and you are the father of Micah. In other words, you have a family and a house. In other words, the decision you make as the leader and the priest of your house has consequences and an influence for Anastasia and Micah, for your house. So when you confess this morning, I will fear and serve the Lord from now on, you take Anastasia and Micah with you. Ben, you're still alone. But it's only a couple of days. And the Lord willing, you're no longer alone. There's Morgan. And in a couple of days, Morgan will be your lovely wife. And then you'll have a house. In other words, Ben, the confession you're going to make here publicly before all these witnesses has consequences for Morgan. Again, you hope to be a leader and a priest in a couple of days from now. Again, you're still standing there alone, but in a couple of days, you're no longer alone, and the confession you make here will have from that moment on consequences for your house, for Morgan. Actually, you say, both of you, say this morning, but as for me, and there they will stand here before all these witnesses, as for us, we and our house will fear and serve the Lord. Amen. That's your public confession, and that's the baptism. Indeed, a solemn moment and a joyful moment. to be a witness, congregation, what a joyful moment that two young people in this world, lost in sin, with so many idols, that they rise up and before so many witnesses are willing to say, but we will serve the Lord. Whatever my family does, the world does, my friends do, whatever is happening around us, we will serve the Lord. And it's a cry to heaven, Lord, help me. I'm sure about it. Because I can't do it alone. But what occasion these words were spoken here in Joshua 24? Well, of course, they were spoken by Joshua. He is the one who utters these words. He has reached the age, maybe a little bit of a surprise for you, of 110 years. He's old here. So when he makes this public confession, he is 110 years old. But he knows that his life's end is approaching. And others will take over leadership from him. And he looks back. For some 25 years, he led the people of Israel. The first 7 years of these 25 years were difficult years. It were years of battle, struggle. Because the people of Israel, under the leadership of Joshua, needed to conquer the land of Israel. Years of battle and struggle. And no doubt, oftentimes it was a spiritual struggle. Lord, help me. What I face at this moment is impossible. And again and again and again, the Lord helped. Of course. But then 18 years of rest followed. And during these years, the people of Israel settled in Canaan. But now the time has come that he will say farewell. He will go to his heavenly home and he looks around him and he sees the people of Israel and he wants to leave them with something substantial. Joshua 23 and 24 are a testament. It is a kind of will of Joshua. And in Joshua 23, the elders come forward. And then in Joshua 24, all the people of Israel come forward. Where are they? They are in Shechem. Where is Shechem in Israel? Do you have any idea? Probably not. And you shouldn't be ashamed for that. But Shechem is in the middle of Israel. It's in the middle of Samaria, or what we call nowadays in the middle of the West Bank. And it is in the hilly country of Samaria, and it is at a crossroads of routes north-south and east-west. It is at a crossroads. So maybe this is one of the reasons that Joshua asked the people to come to Shechem, because it is central in Israel. But I think there is a more important reason that Joshua asks them to come to Shechem. He had actually done this before by order of Moses. After the 7 years of battle and struggle, and the land was conquered from the enemies, Joshua had the people come to Shechem only 18 years ago. And half of the people of Israel stood at that moment on the Mount Ebal. And the other half of the people of Israel stood at the other side of a mountain, Gerizim. And in between, indeed, is Shechem. So there's Shechem. Two mounds. And 18 years before, the people were there on that mountain Gerizim and the mountain Ebal. Half of the people stood on Gerizim, the mountain of blessings, the blessing mountain. And half of the people on the Mount Ebal, the cursing mountain. And Joshua pronounced the covenant words of the Lord, including the blessings and the curses. And every time he pronounced a blessing, half of the people of Israel standing on the blessing mountain Gerizim, they said, Amen, Amen, Amen. And when he pronounced and uttered a curse, the other half of the people of Israel standing on the Mount Ebal pronounced loudly, confessed, Amen, Amen. What a solemn moment that was 18 years ago. But now Joshua wants another covenant renewal. He is about to leave. He wants to urge and to admonish the people to fear the Lord, to serve the Lord. That's his testament. His testament is, please, fear the Lord and serve the Lord. There are so many idols around us. Our hearts are filled with idols. The world is filled with idols. But please, fear and serve the Lord. And he presents them with a choice. What is your choice? Do you make a choice for the idols of the world and the joy of the world? Assured, lived joy? Or do you make the choice for the creator of heaven and earth, who will give you an everlasting joy? Whom do you serve? These many idols out there, or that one true, unique God? Well, public confession of faith is also a choice. It's a choice. It's your free choice. And it has everything to do with God's covenant. Corey, you will declare that you can't live without a triune God. That you can't without your Savior, Jesus Christ, the mediator of the covenant of grace. Ben, you will publicly declare that you understand that you are an adult now. And that you have the intention from now on to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to live a life in faith and repentance. These are the confessions you're going to make. In other words, the choices you're going to make. You're going to make a choice for the Lord. And with that, the choice to forsake the lusts of your heart and the idols in the world. Lord, I want to fear you and serve you, me and my house. But dear congregation, many of us this morning have made in the past a profession of faith. Let us not look only to Ben and Corey and how they stand here and what they will say, and there may be emotions or whatever. But let's first of all look to ourselves and reflect on the confession of faith we once made. Let us reflect on the questions that were asked of us at that time and the answer we gave then, back then. And let's take the outcome of that inquiry to the Lord. Let's move on to the second thought, the why of this confession. Well, the people there stand in Shechem And Joshua wants to give them, to hear from them that solemn yes to God's covenantal words. And Joshua 24 is a long chapter. We have not read it all. But in verses 2 to 13, chapter 4, 2 to 13, Joshua is the mouth of God, and he speaks in the I form, and that I is God. What a solemn moment. Joshua speaks on God's behalf, and he even uses the word I. It is God who speaks at that solemn moment. And the first thing that God does through the mouth of Joshua is showing the people of Israel what he has done in the past for them. A long list follows. It is about God's electing love, how he chose in the past and called Abraham and brought him in the promised land. God is a God of electing love. It is about God who delivered the people of Israel from that house of bondage from Egypt. God is a redeemer and a savior. It is about how God led his people through the desert for 40 years and brought them into the land of Canaan, that promised land. He is a faithful God. Ben and Corey, you both know about Jesus Christ and that he is indeed a full savior, a full redeemer, that he is so faithful. He reigns in heaven, but he never forgets his poor people here on earth that cry out for help. Lord, I gave my yes, but I can't keep it. So they cry out, but he always intercedes for his people. Always. And he will never let them go. We have such a faithful, triune God and such a faithful Savior. You know what a conclusion is when we reflect on the great deeds of God? That salvation is God's work. Corey and Ben, did you in your own strength seek the Lord ever in your life? Was it your own will to seek the Lord? No. It was God who reached out, and God who spoke to you. It is God the Father who gave his Son. It is God the Son who gave his life. It is God the Holy Spirit who indwells sinners' hearts. It is all God's work from the very beginning to the very end. And it's nothing from us. Well, that's the summary of the first verses there in Joshua 24. It is grace alone. How sweet that sound. How sweet that sound. And then Joshua ends. If this is the case, if we have such a great God, fear the Lord and serve him, verse 14. If this is the case that God gave his only beloved son, Ben, Corey, Morgan, Anastasia, fear the Lord and serve him. Give him your whole heart. Give him your whole heart. And then Joshua is not finished with speaking. He continues. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him. But he adds, with sincerity and in truth. And it's important to add these words. Ben, Corey, you will pronounce in a few moments from now that you in your house will fear and serve the Lord. But you also promise to do that with sincerity and in truth. Right? Not with an empty heart. It are not fake words here. They come from your mind, your heart, your soul. Lord, I indeed want to follow you in sincerity, in truth, with all my mind, heart, and soul. And of course you add, please help me, because I can't give that yes Don't be a person, and this is for all of us, with a double heart. Ben, Morgan, Corey, Anastasia, all of us, that we will not give half of our life to the world and half of our life to God. No, God has our first priority. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the days of our life. And he will take care of our life. No doubt about that, because that's his promise. And then Joshua continues, well, if that is the case, that you make this choice before God with sincerity and in truth, put away the idols. Mortify your old man. Crucify your sins. Fight against the lusts in your heart. Put away the idols. And he asked the people of Israel, what is your choice? See, all these idols. Do you see God, the creator of heaven and earth? Do you see his love? The love of these idols is empty. But the love of that God is a true and abiding love, because he gave his son, and his son gave himself, and the Spirit even gave himself in entering our dirty heart. That's amazing. It's not a difficult choice, right? How could we choose all these idols if there is such a loving God? That's an impossible choice, of course. And Joshua stands there as an example. Before he leaves the answer to the people of Israel, he tells them, well, but my choice is God. And I include all my house in that, because I'm the priest and the leader of my house. I promise to see God in repentance and faith. And I hope you will repeat that in your heart. Corrie Ten Boom, when you stand here, that you will say in your heart, Lord, I seek you in repentance and faith every day of my life. When I do my work as a plumber, when I walk, when I drive my car and I do my deliveries, whatever I do, Lord, I seek you in repentance and faith. I seek my salvation in Christ. I don't have to add anything. I don't need to add anything. I seek Christ and his full salvation. I want to follow Christ today and tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. I want to mortify the sins in my own life. I want to organize the life, my personal life and the life of my house, according to God's word. That's what you promise. It's a solemn moment. It's not nothing. What is the secret of Joshua? How is he able to promise this? Is it something within himself? Of course not. Joshua's eyes were opened by God's word and the power of the Spirit, that it is God and God alone. He had seen it in his life. You remember that story, that he was the great leader who led the people of Israel in the battle against the Amalekites? And they overcame the Amalekites? But do you know where the secret was of that battle? Moses was raising his hands to God. It is God who gave the victory. And Joshua was only the servant of God. Well, and Joshua had seen that time and time over and over again in his life. It is God who gives the victory. Joshua's life was stamped by God's sovereign electing grace. And he wants to pass that on. He looks around him and he's moved with all these people. Like every pastor is moved with his congregation. And sees souls created for eternity. And ask the Lord, have mercy upon all these souls. And you as leaders of your house, right, are moved by your house. You ask the Lord, have mercy upon Morgan, have mercy upon Anastasia, upon Micah. And maybe the children the Lord will give you in his grace. Yeah. Is your life stamped by God's love? By his electing and free grace? Well, let's move on to the how shortly. The how. How can we keep this promise? There is something strange here. The people respond, "We will serve the Lord." I think Joshua's heart made a leap of joy, because the whole people of Israel expressed there, "We want to fear and serve the Lord." And you know what the answer is of Joshua? It is amazing. You cannot serve the Lord. Well, Ben and Corey, I'll tell you this morning the same thing. You cannot serve the Lord. You can't. You just can't in your own strength. You're still young and you're still strong. You still dreams. But you cannot serve the Lord in your own strength and wisdom. If you even try it, you will be defeated as many times as you try it. It's an impossible fight. You know why Joshua actually tells this? He wants that the people of Israel will calculate the costs. That's it. And that it will search their hearts. Is it really that I say that yes with a cry and a lifting up of my hands, Lord help me? That's the first thing. It's about their attitude. Does the answer come from their mind, heart, and soul? Living out of grace? And secondly, did they calculate the costs? Have you calculated the cost? You read the same thing in Luke 14. The Lord Jesus comes to the multitudes, and many want to follow him, and then he tells them, "Have you calculated the cost of following me?" Following me is not cheap. Ben and Corey, it's not cheap to follow the Lord. It is a way of self-denial. He who does not take up his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. That's what the Lord himself says. Grace is never cheap. God is love. Yes, that's true. But God is also a holy God, a sovereign God. Oh, yes. There's so much love. There is an abundance of never-ending love. But at the very same time, God is holy and he demands our whole mind, soul, heart, our life, that we fight against the sin and mortify our sin, that we rise up as a new man day by day and follow Jesus Christ, that we stick to our public confession of faith, that we stick to our choice. God is holy and sovereign, sovereign one, and following him will cost you much. Actually, it will cost you everything. Because again and again you will say, "Lord, I am a sinner." And that's not easy to say. I am weak. And to acknowledge as two strong men, we are weak. Spiritually weak. You can be physically strong, and you both are physically strong. But spiritually we are weak, and therefore we ask the Spirit to fill us, and he will give us the strength to stick to our yes. Well, lastly, the capability of our confession. Yes. Maybe you are a little bit afraid now of saying yes. Because you think, well, I can't keep my word. And when I calculate the cost, wow. That's not nothing. That life of self-denial. The promise to mortify my sins, the promise to forsake all the idols in the world, the promise to seek the Lord, the promise to be a priest in my house. Lord, how can I keep all these promises? How can I ever say yes here? Well, you can't in your own strength. Well, where do you get the boldness from and the courage? And you both know it, because otherwise you wouldn't be seated here. Well, that's the last thing of the sermon here. Now we look to another Joshua. Which Joshua? The great Joshua, Jesus Christ. Joshua fought battles for 7 years. The great Joshua, Jesus Christ, fought another battle. In that battle, he fought with our sin, with the captain and the king of the world, Satan. And he overcame sin and all our enemies. He is the great overcomer. He is the great deliverer. Then you cry out, Lord, help me. And he will never say no. That's impossible. He will never say, Ben, Morgan, Corey, Anastasia, you cried out to me, but this time I'm sleeping. The Lord never slumbers nor sleeps. We can sleep at times. We can fall asleep. We are weak. We will fall in sin. You will also do. But with the Lord is an abundance of grace, and he never sleeps and slumbers, and he always intercedes for his weak people. With him is strength. With him, in that great Joshua, everything can be found that we lack. And that is how you can say yes today. May the Lord bless these words to all of us, and especially Ben and Corey and their house. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 65. Psalter 65, that's Psalm 25, and we'll sing four stanzas, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. That's actually all stanzas of Psalter 65. Dear congregation, and all witnesses here gathered together this morning. Two persons in our midst, Ben Quakel and Corey George. Now the desire to make public confession of faith in our midst, so that they may share in the full fellowship of the church. Since Corey has not yet been baptized, he will receive holy baptism as a sign and a seal of God's covenant promises that those who believe the gospel here, those who believe the gospel will be justified and receive eternal life. Do we believe the gospel? After inquiring into your faith and knowledge of the truth, the consistory has agreed to your intention with confidence and joy. No lawful objections have been made against any of you. So we will proceed from here with public confession of faith and baptism. And we'll begin with reading the form for baptism, as you can find in the back of your psalter. The form for adult baptism. And it begins there with the teaching of the doctrine of baptism in general. And there we read, the principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First of all, that we, with our children, are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, in so much that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to love and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesses and seals unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. When we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesses and seals unto us that he does make an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. When we are baptized in the name of the Son seals unto us that he does wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us, sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ. What's that? The washing away of our sins, the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God, through baptism, admonished of, obliged unto new obedience, namely that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him, love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes, through weakness, fall into sin, we must not, therefore, despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal, an undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. Then we proceed with the doctrine of adult baptism in particular. And we read there, however, children of Christian parents, although they understand not this mystery, must be baptized by virtue of the covenant, yet it is not lawful to baptize those who are come to years of discretion, except they first be sensible of their sins and make confession both of their repentance and faith in Christ. For this cause did not only John the Baptist preach, which he did according to the command of God, the baptism of repentance, and baptized for the remissions of sins those who confess their sins. We can find it in Mark 1 and Luke 3. But our Lord Jesus Christ also commanded his disciples to teach all nations and then to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You can find it in Matthew 28 and Mark 16. And he added this promise: he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. According to which rule the apostles, as appears from Acts 2 and 10 and 16, baptized none who were of years of discretion, but such as made confession of their faith and repentance. Therefore, it is not lawful now to baptize any other adult person than such as have been taught the mysteries of holy baptism by the preaching of the gospel and are able to give an account of their faith by the confession of the mouth. That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of the church, let us call upon his holy name. Let us pray. O Almighty and Eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with a flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism is signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously look upon this person, incorporate him by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that he may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that he may daily follow him, joyfully bearing his cross, cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, ardent love, that he may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, only one God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. Corrie, I would like to ask you to rise. Since therefore you, Corrie Javan George, are also desirous of holy baptism, to the end that it may be to thee a seal of thine engrafting into the church of God, that it may appear that you do not only receive the Christian religion in which you have been privately instructed by me, and of which also you have made confession before the consistory, but that you, through the grace of God, intends and purpose to lead a life according to the same. You are sincerely to give answer before God and his church here gathered together, and by doing so, make public confession of your faith. 5 questions. First, do you believe in the only true God, distinct in 3 persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, who has made heaven and earth and all that in them is of nothing, and still maintains and governs them, in so much that nothing comes to pass, either in heaven or on earth, without his divine will? What is your answer, Corey?
Yes.
Secondly, do you believe that you are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are a child of wrath by nature, wholly incapable of doing any good, prone to all evil, and that thou hast frequently, in thought, word, and deed, transgressed the commandments of the Lord? And whether you are heartily sorrow for these sins, what is your answer, Corey?
Yes.
Thirdly, do you believe that Christ, who is the true and eternal God and very man, who took his human nature on him out of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, is given to you by God to be your Savior, and that you do receive him by his faith, by this faith, remission of sins in his blood, and that you are made by the power of the Holy Ghost a member of Jesus Christ and his church? What is your answer, Corey?
Yes.
Fourthly, do you ascend to all the articles of the Christian religion as they are taught here in this Christian church, according to the word of God, and purpose steadfastly to continue in the same doctrine to the end of your life? And also, do you reject all heresies and schisms repugnant to this doctrine, and promise to persevere in the communion of the Christian church, not only in the hearing of the word, but also in the use of the Lord's Supper? What is your answer, Corey?
Yes.
Fifthly, have you taken a firm resolution always to lead a Christian life, to forsake the world and his evil lusts, as is becoming the members of Christ and his church, and to submit yourself to all Christians' admonitions? What is your answer, Corey?
Yes.
Call unto me is God's promise in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Is the promise of God for you this morning. The good and great God mercifully grant his grace and blessing to this your purpose, through Jesus Christ. Amen. We will now continue and proceed with the baptism of Corey. Please come both forward, with Micah, of course. He is part of your house, Corey. Can you please kneel down here, Corey? Corrie, Javon, George, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please rise. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. My God. May the Lord bless you. We will now continue with a public confession of faith of Ben. And we ask you, Ben Quagle, who intend to make confession of faith, to rise. And in this solemn moment of your life, in front of many witnesses, to give sincere answers to the following four questions. First, Ben, do you declare and acknowledge the doctrine of this church insofar as you have heard, learned, and confessed it, to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation in accordance with the Holy Scriptures? Second, do you promise that with the grace of the Lord, you will steadfastly continue in the confession of this doctrine of salvation and live and die therein? Third, do you promise that your life will always be, with Christ's help and grace, godly, honorable, and inoffensive, and that you will adorn your confession with good works? Lastly, do you promise that you will submit and subject yourself to the instruction and admonition of the church and to church discipline in case you should become delinquent, which may God graciously forbid, either in doctrine or in life? What is your answer, Benjamin David Quagle?
Yes.
1 Timothy 6, verse 12 is God's word for you this morning. Fight the good fight of faith, Ben. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. I would also like Corrie to rise now. Yes. By virtue of your baptism, and as a result of your personal confession of faith for both of you, we, in the fellowship of the Church of Jesus Christ, declare you, Corrie George and Ben Quagle, to be professing members of the Reformed Church in America, here in Providence Reformed Church. The God of all grace, who has called you in Christ to his eternal glory, he will perfect, confirm, strengthen, and ground you. To him be glory and strength for all eternity. Amen. We read in 1 Peter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Dear congregation, now that you have heard the confession of these two brothers and was witness of the baptism, we commend them to your love and care as members who we are one with. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 13. A new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. We will now sing, standing if possible, Psalter 425, verse 5. Psalter 425, verse 5. And if all of you please stand here, Morgan, Anastasia, and here, please. Some personal words from your pastor. Corrie, Ben, Morgan. The four of us have spent many evenings, close to 20, around 20, I think, something like that. And we met numerous times in the basement of the parsonage. And when I look back, it were good evenings. And I felt blessed. We opened Pastor Bilkes Senior's book on Confession of Faith. And we went through it chapter by chapter. And we discussed all the topics in that book. I think only the last chapter we didn't cover. We didn't have time anymore. But almost all chapters. And we opened our hearts for each other. Right? At times we looked into each other's hearts. And we spoke about faith and sin and what it is to live with the Lord and for the Lord and who Jesus Christ is for our soul. We read together in the Bible. We prayed together. You also prayed. I will miss you. It's always the same. After ending a confession of faith class, I really miss it. Corrie. With you, I even spent more time. I didn't count evenings, but 40, something like that. Many evenings. And we discussed so many things. And your hunger for knowledge is great. I was impressed. You often told me, and you prayed for it loudly, there in the basement of the parsonage, that you longed to gain knowledge, to grow in faith. And especially, you mentioned so many times the name of Anastasia and Micah, to be a faithful and good husband and father. To be a good priest and leader in your home. Corrie, the text I gave to you is, call unto me and I will answer you. And show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Many times, Corrie, we thank the Lord. And you gave a testimony how the Lord changed you and brought so many good things in your life. The first gift was Anastasia. And then your parents-in-law. They were the instruments in God's hand. Anastasia, your parents-in-law, your family to lead you to God and to Jesus Christ. gave you a house, he gave you my car. But you have this promise. Whenever you call unto the Lord, he will show you great and mighty things, even more than he has shown you until now. Things you can't perceive now. Things thou knowest not. Anastasia, humanly speaking, it is because of you that Corrie came to know the Lord. Many times he told me the story how you met. And you started this question, and you were so clear from the very first time. Yeah, so clear on spiritual issues. Thanks for that. The Lord gave you that boldness and courage. And of course, your parents, they are here, and your family, they played a big role in that process of Corrie's change the last years. I think joy and gratitude will undoubtedly be multiplied in your heart now. I think your heart is filled with joy as of your parents. And we enjoy this moment with you. May the Lord bless you, Anastasia and Micah. Ben, it was such a pleasure to listen to you. The answers you gave and the input in our discussions were often so surprising for me. You know, you brought up things I never thought about. And they made me really think and again wrestle with the Word of God, and I needed some time to answer your questions. You showed really serious interest. And you expressed clearly several times that it is in your heart to continue in your parents' footsteps. So the upbringing of your parents was instrumental in God's hand. And you expressed that you want to continue on the path they taught you to take. The text I gave you, Ben, is fight the good fight of faith. You like, you know, a fight with words, discussion. You're always in for it. But Ben, fight the good fight of faith. Let that be your first fight. Lay hold on eternal life. You are a hard and diligent worker. You make many hours, and oftentimes at the end of the day, you're tired. But Ben, lay first of all hold on eternal life. And put all your spiritual energy into that battle. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are called by God Almighty, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Morgan, you have made public confession of faith already in the past, but you attended the classes faithfully with your future husband, Ben, and with Corrie, and it was such a pleasure and a blessing to have you with us. You showed yourself to be so engaged of the things of eternal life, the spiritual matters of life. My wish is that the Lord may bless you and that you really may be a true and faithful follower of Jesus Christ. May the Lord, Ben, Morgan, Corrie, Micah, Anastasia, bless you all. You may be seated. Let us thank the Lord now for this very special and solemn moment and give him our thanks. Let us pray. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, has received us through the Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee through the same Son of thy love that thou wilt be pleased always to govern Corrie and Ben in their houses by thy Holy Spirit, that they may lead a Christian and godly life, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and to all of us here, and that they may live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, that they may manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one, only, true God. Amen. Let us now, at this moment, sing Psalter 415. Psalter 415, that's Psalm 25, and we'll sing four stanzas, 1, 2, 6, and 7. Psalter 415, stanzas 1 and 2, 6 and 7. Sorry, I'm wrong. Sorry. You need to sing. We are going to sing 136, it is, eh? Thank you.
Thank you.
lift up your heart to God and receive the blessings of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.